Excellencies, your worship, the mayor of Sazak, dear veterans, ladies and gentlemen, friends. First of all, may I congratulate you on the anniversary of our victory in World War II over Nazi Germany. It marked the triumph of good over evil, the liberation of Europe from the threat to the very existence of its civilization. On this day, we remember those who gave their lives for that great cause. The Second World War started in Europe. It was here that unheard-of atrocities, including Holocaust, were committed. We are proud that the peoples of the Soviet Union made a decisive contribution to our common victory. We will always remember our allies, the United States, Great Britain, France, and other countries, those who fought in the resistance. Our special gratitude goes to the Arctic Convoy veterans. We also remember the lessons learned from the tragic experience. Sadly, the relevance for Europe and the world does not wane. As recent events in various parts of our continent and other regions show, there are still forces and persons who espouse extreme nationalism and intolerance. Quite often, it's rooted in World War II, when various nationalists fought on the side of Nazi Germany and thus on the wrong side of history. Now these forces are seeking revenge either by rewriting history or rejecting post-war settlement, including the Charter of Nuremberg Tribunal. That's why Russia and like-minded nations each year pass the UN General Assembly resolution on inadmissibility of all forms of intolerance and glorification of Nazism. The enormity of sacrifice, suffering, and war effort made World War II a defining moment in forging our national identity, and the victory a moral value of highest order, which explains our position on many issues of today, including international affairs. I regret to say that, as recent events in and around Ukraine prove, old geopolitics and its zero-sum logic die hard. The lack of formal settlement in the Euro-Atlantic area after the end of the Cold War represents a fundamental flaw of the present regional security architecture. It's short of being a genuine collective security system that is inclusive, transparent, and comprehensive. The lack of clarity, ambivalence, and ambiguities are fertile ground for old prejudice and suspicions, misunderstandings, and mistrust rooted in ideological confrontation of the past. This generates demand for politics of division. If a Europe whole and free is our common goal, then we cannot accept that double standards position, that people's interests are paramount in one part of it and interests of the states in another, that human security, responsibility to protect, and humanitarian interventions are for some, and ironcast 19th century notions of independence and sovereignty for others, that visa-free regime in the West and Cold War borders in the East of our continent. Perhaps we managed the Cold War fine, but the peace has been badly mishandled. We hope that the Ukrainian crisis will serve as a wake-up call for all in Europe and will drive home that message. We owe it to those whose sacrifice we now remember to ensure that this be the case, that good will prevail at last in our region. I can assure you that as long as Russia exists, we'll stand by that memory and the ideals our fathers and grandfathers fought for. Today we also celebrate another memorable date. It's 15 years ago, on May the 9th, 1999, the Soviet War Memorial was unveiled. From the very start, this idea was supported by the UK government. Its existence became possible only due to joint efforts of Russian and British authorities. The memorial is a symbol of comradeship in arms and friendship between our two nations who stood up against the aggressor on the opposite ends of Europe. I would like to express my gratitude to all the members of the Soviet Memorial Trust Fund, and especially its chairman, Philip Matthews, and its secretary, Ralph Gibson, for all their hard work and for making the annual Victory Day ceremony and other events happen. Thank you very much.